Welcome to Digital Hazard Podcast for Friday, the 6th of November in the year 2009. I have a good lineup for you today, so I might as well just kick it off. As you may know, you should know, that today, November the 6th, is the launch date of the Motorola Droid. I've hyped this phone in my own mind, and I've hyped it out to you guys too, but I want to hype a little bit more and say that there are unconfirmed reports that say that the Droid might also be heading to T-Mobile. So we will be getting a GSM version of the Droid, which you can take to Europe and all the other wonderful countries in the world that don't use CDMA networks. But the story actually comes from a article on brighthand.com, which is a subsidy of technologyguide.com, which I only know because I'm looking at it right now. And they're saying that there is a Scholl's UMTS T-Mobile USA version on the it's from a leaked screenshot of the Motorola internet. Scholl's, if you don't know, obviously is the working name for the Droid. So just like Vista was Longhorn, I think that's what it was. But yeah, no, this is awesome that the Droid that is going to kill the iPhone isn't just going to be on a Verizon CDMA network, that I will be able to get the Motorola Droid and love it in all of its awesomeness on my GSM carriers, because that's the way I roll. I stick with GSM. I mean, like, if the rest of the world uses it, it's good enough for me. CDMA, like, well, I can't really take my phone anywhere, but it's awesome here in America. It's like, no, I want to take my phone with me. I don't want to have to learn a new phone when I go somewhere else. Anyway, that's my little thing. When I saw this story, I did giant fist pump, and I was just like a wahoo. Like, I was really happy. Now, on to a little bit more of Droid news. Earlier in the week, there was a story that said that the email costs for Droid will cost you extra. So if you want to check your email on the Droid, this is corporate email, remind you, that you'd have to pay extra in order for the feature of checking corporate email on your Droid, which, I don't know, is kind of stupid. Like, you can just say, oh, well, I'll use the device, but I'm not going to check my corporate email, I'm just going to check my personal email, and then you wouldn't have to pay for it anyway. But then there was an update later on in the week, might have actually been the next day, I can't quite remember exactly, that says that the personal Droid data plan with the email will cost you an extra $30. And this actually, the extra $30 comes not with personal data plans, but with corporate plans. So if you're buying like a bunch of Droids for your corporate headquarters, and everyone on your network's going to have Droids, or everyone in your company's going to have Droids, then yeah, it'll cost you extra. Oh, wait, okay, here. I'm reading the thing. What kind of Verizon wireless... The Verizon depends on the wireless account. The personal account or the family plan will cost you $30 a month, but the corporate stuff will cost you $45. This is individual droidage. So yeah, that's the rest of my Droid news. And real quickly, you have the new Droid commercial where like a bunch of fighter planes fly over and they drop these like giant metal spheres not on people but near people, like on someone's farm, and then there's one like near a gas station or whatever, and like they just come, they make these giant impacts, and like people gather around like, what is this? And like the ball opens up, and then it opens up, and then a Droid pops out. And then it like flashes to a black screen, just like Droid dropping 11609, and just, I don't know, it makes you see that the Droid is an awesome phone, because it A has the attack ad against Apple, and then B it has the awesome fighter planes. Okay, It's not that great of a commercial, but I don't know. They obviously spent a lot of money on it. Moving on. There is, and this is reported by Yahoo News, there's a space hotel that is scheduled to open in 2012. And in order to stay at this space hotel, you have to train for 8 weeks. And it will cost you 3 million euros for a three-night stay on the hotel. So you need to pay 3 million euros to stay for 3 nights on this hotel, and you have to take an extra 8 weeks off in order to just make it up there with all the, like, 8 Gs of takeoff stuff. I mean, I guess if you're willing to pay 3 million euros for 3 nights, you probably have 8 weeks that you can take off and train to go stay in a hotel. Can you imagine that? It's training to stay going in a hotel. It's like, well, what are you doing, honey? I'm working out. I need to train to stay in a hotel. It's like, what? Okay, never mind. I don't know. Filthy rich, do whatever you want. But, I don't know. Hotel in space? Is that really necessary? Okay. Speaking of things that are absolutely not necessary, there was a leaked ACTA internet provision, which is a secret meeting or a secret global conference, I guess, to sort of make rules for the internet. It's not associated with ICANN, which is the internet regulatory body, but it's a international politics group, and what they did, it's called the Anti-Counterfeiting Trade Agreement, which will be a secret copyright treaty, whose text Obama administration has refused to disclose due to national security concerns, but it's leaked. Someone obviously copied enough of it down to make the public known, and I'm kind of glad that they're making the public known about this, but it's saying that any ISP anywhere in the world, so not just the United States, not just like France or China or whatever, will adopt sort of a three strikes policy, in that it's not even like three actual strikes, it's three accusations of strikes. So if I accuse you three times, it's accusations by rights holders. So even if I'm a photographer and I had a contract with you and you put up some of the photos that I sold you, but I didn't want you to put those photos up online. I only sold you the print copies. Like, that was the whole point, right? I can file against you saying that you violated my copyright because I'm a rights holder, I'm the photographer who took the photos. And if I get three accusations of your violating my copyright, you will be cut off the internet. Like, kaput. Like, your ISP will cut off your service just on three accusations. It doesn't even have to be proven. If I'm just really pissed at you, and I accuse you three times, three copyright violations, you're off the internet for good. And the other things are, ISPs have to proactively police copyright on user-contributed material, which means that YouTube and Flickr and Photobucket and every other, like, user-generated content hosting site out there will not exist, because the ISPs have to make sure that you're not infringing copyright with your own personal user-created things. Then you also have to... The whole world will adopt a U.S.-style notice and takedown rules that require ISPs to remove any material that is accused. Again, without evidence or trial. And this has proven an absolute disaster in the United States. France recently did the three strikes policy, internet cutoff thing. I fear for the French people. I sympathize with the French people. And then the last one is mandatory prohibitions on breaking DRM, digital rights management, even if doing so for a loss of purpose. So even if I'm unlocking my phone, which is protected under Library of Congress rules as a breaking of DRM, I'm unlocking my phone so I can use it on T-Mobile and AT&T, or I'm unlocking my phone so I can use it on both Verizon and Sprint. I can be thrown in jail for that, or I can be like badly spoken to, harsh accusations, if you know what I mean. But yeah, that's just a little scary. Not at all, right? So yeah, be afraid. Be very afraid. This is worse than the robots coming and taking over and enslaving the human race. Which, if you were listening to last week's episode, you would know what I'm talking about. So maybe you should go back and listen to last week's episode. Last story. This was a quick episode. I think I'm tired. I think it's late. Well, it's not actually. Okay. Before I get to this last, let me go off on a small rant about daylight savings time. It's 6:30 when I'm recording this on a Friday night. It is pitched black outside, like midnight black outside. All right, there's something wrong with that. It's not supposed to be pitched black at 6:30. And I know people are like, oh, well, daylight savings time is the thing that like saves us all a lot of energy. It's like, huh? And their argument is like, it overlaps better with when people wake up. It's like, what? People wake up earlier in the winter? That doesn't that's against common sense. And the fact that people stay up until like, I don't know, 10 o'clock on any given day, and we have to burn all this energy to light our homes starting at like 5 o'clock? Like that's energy savings? That throws up a giant question mark in my brain. Yeah, small rant about daylight savings time. But now, a story on LHC. I guess the whole point of that was to introduce the fact that it's dark outside, so it makes me feel sleepier, I guess. So, maybe if I feel sleepier, I'll turn off my lights and go to bed earlier. So I'll wake up earlier, so then the sun does actually. I don't know. What? Like, didn't Benjamin Franklin come up with this? I thought Benjamin Franklin was supposed to be smart. My point that I'm trying to get at, it's a short show because I gave you an episode on Monday, and it's Friday, which is not a whole week in between for picking up stories, I guess. I don't know. Last story of the show. Okay. The LHC, the Large Hadron Collider, you know how it was supposed to go online, oh, more than a year ago? Or almost a year ago? No, more than a year. I think it was more than a year ago. And it's been shut down for numerous things like helium leaks. Understandable. I mean, like, I could go on a rant about the properties of helium when it's that cold and you're trying to blow things up with tiny subatomic particles. I'm not going to do that. I'll just say the helium leak is understandable. Like wiring, faulty wiring. I mean, yeah, you have like miles of wiring. You're gonna get faulty wiring somewhere. I'm not blaming you guys on that one. But now, LHC was shut down by a baguette dropping bird, is what the Slashdot article says. And they've thrown some funny things out about time traveling Higgs boson particles that, once they're created, they go back in time in order to uncreate themselves so that they don't get detected, which might be the LHC's problem. But anyway, this story on Slashdot reads basically, "It now appears that the collider is hindered from an initial firing by a baguette, dropped by a passing bird." And then it quotes, "The bird dropped some bread on a section of outdoor machinery, eventually leading to significant overheating in parts of the accelerator. The LHC was not operational at the time of the incident, but the spike produced so much heat that had the beam been on, automatic failsafes would have shut down the machine." So, no. Like, terrorist organizations aren't targeting this. Like, radical people who think that turning the LHC on will end the world aren't targeting this. The French are targeting this with their baguette dropping bomb birds. Can you imagine that? A baguette bomb bird thing. It's a lot of bees. Anyway, I draw your own conclusions. I don't have enough commentary on this. I just found it funny, and I thought I should pass that on. So that is my podcast for today. Oh, actually, I'll be on to the emails, but of course, I don't have any emails, which you should fix. You. I'm talking to you, the one who's listening to this. You should fix that by sending me an email at mbaron50@gmail.com. You can find that again if you missed it on the blog at digitalhazardpodcast.blogspot.com. Send me an email, comments, questions, concerns, anything. But put in the subject line, Digital Hazard Podcast, something to know that it's a podcast. Anyway, but the one bit of feedback that I did get, one of the listeners, and this person knows who they is, who they are. This person knows who they are. This person knows who they is. Anyway, this person, after the discussion last week about, actually Monday, on Amazon's pay phrase, which is, if you don't know what this is, you should go back to last week and listen, find out what it is, but I'll summarize it really quickly. Amazon is launching PayPhrase, which is a competitive service to eBay's PayPal, so you can send money to, like, third-party vendors online, basically. And the comment I got from him was, "I'm going to start PayBuddy," which, again, you have to go back to last week's episode and understand that I made the joke, PayPal, PayBuddy, PayPhrase, PaySentence, but he just jokingly said, "I'm going to go start PayBuddy," to which I laughed, and I thought I should share. When I talked to him later, I realized that he has nowhere near the amount of time to actually start PayBuddy, which is why he said it jokingly. But, of course, text online, you can't really get the inflection of someone's voice. That's the only feedback I got. So this is the fourth episode, and I'm only just getting feedback. You should fix that. If you want to rewind a little bit, and have me admonish you again, we can do that. But you can do that. That's about it. Check the blog for more stuff. Go to the blog and comment. Go to the Facebook and comment. Or send me an email with a comment. But P.S., if you send me an email, much more likely to get read. I'm going to sign off. So you guys enjoy your weekend. And stay cool.